It's Friday, August 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a great one. Hold on to your hats. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. Of course, I am Todd Cochran, your host, and you are listening to the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, we want to thank all of our long-term subscribers. Thank you for staying subscribed and being part of our Ohana, being part of our family here. And if you're a new listener to the Geek News Central podcast, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Click on the podcast link to get all the archives and, of course, sign up for our mailing list, which is available via the Geek navigation box on the second column. So, how is everyone? I hope everyone's had a terrific week. I know that I have. It's been quite amazing in itself that it was a week of meetings, and not podcast meetings, but it was more regular JOB meetings. I was quite busy. It just seems like this evening we're sitting down to dinner, and I said to the wife, I said, "Tomorrow's Friday. Do you realize that?" And she kind of looked at me kind of funny, and it's just been, this week's just, ooh, it's been gone. But I hope everyone else has had a quick week and productive one. And I know that I have. So, hey, got a lot of great content to go through tonight. Found some great news stories. We're going to talk a little bit about some things going on here in the near future and some things that are on my mind. Actually, I read an article on a website to hear about, 30 minutes ago, just prior to us getting ready to start to record the show. And I actually had to go, I wrote a post and I was going to hit publish. And, you know, I read through it and, you know, when you're angry, the best thing you should do is, put it in the unpublished column and walk away. So maybe tomorrow after I'll go back and reread it and I will see if I really want to hit publish. It's probably wise for me now not to just say anything, but if it shows up on the website tomorrow, you guys can read it and get a good chuckle or grimace or be mad like I was, or take it for what it's worth. But I'm going to hold off at least 12 hours and maybe talk to some of my peers and say, is this a good idea to post or not? I will say that the subject's on podcast advertising. And for podcasters that have advertisers like we do, I think you need to appreciate them for the simple fact that it allows podcasters not only, one, the time involved to create a good show, two, it gives a little bit of money in return to podcasters in their pockets to, you know, help pay for new equipment, hosting costs, etc., and a little bit of a motivating factor, too, you know, to keep doing great shows, because it's a lot of work. I'll be very, very honest with you. You know, I finished dinner tonight at about, we got done. My boy had a soccer practice, so I got back from that. Around 6:30, we sat down, and at 7, cleared the table real quick, and boom, right upstairs, I went and started doing research, and the kids were jumping in the shower, and of course, I had to stop midway through, do a little homework check, make sure everything was good, talk to them a little bit. They're in bed at about 8:15, and here it is. It's right now on my clock, 8:57. So, you know, it's a little bit of time, couple hours to get ready, hour maybe sometimes, to depending on how much stuff I want to talk about. So, you know, it the comments that were made on the website, and I'll probably post it, but I'm going to wait tomorrow to make sure that my head of steam is blown off a little bit, and I'm not saying that something is too critical. But I do want to put a challenge out to all of you. We have been working very, very diligently over at the Podcaster News Network to come up with a jingle that is going to basically be the defining audio for the Podcaster News Network. Now, here's what I want you to think about. If you think you're up to the challenge and you think you can create a jingle, I want it to be something that's distinct. You know, NPR kind of has their little 5 to 10 second intro. Well, I want something that's going to be short enough where it's not going to be annoying when people are listening to consecutive 5 minute shows. So it needs to be relatively short and basically get our kind of our message out that, you know, it's the Podcaster News Network, you know, place to go eat your news. Something to that effect. You can go over to podcasternews.com and you can actually look at the site, and there's if you look at it right now, there's not a lot there except for the simple fact that it says in the coming weeks you'll learn about a new network that is going to change the way to get your news. So you use that in your consideration of being creative. If you can come up with something, hey, you may be the person that will have created the jingle for the Podcaster News Network. Now, our friends at Audio Collective, they're still working. They've submitted 2 or 3 different iterations. We just haven't quite nailed it yet, but we're close. We're really, really close, so we're going to continue to move forward with that. Now, along with that, if you go over to rawvoice.com, there's a new posting out there. We're trying to find the best venue or the best way to roll out the Podcaster News Network, and we're very, very close to that date of being able to go live with the site. The podcasters have shook it down, got a few minor issues to work through. There's some changes that I have wanted to be made that the developers are working on, but we're looking for a venue where we have the biggest exposure to podcasters, listeners, in the whole nine yards. A bunch of you sent me a request to be listening and be able to get a check, look at the site before we roll it. You'll be getting an email and an invite here directly to do that. And, of course, we're going to have a special walkthrough for reporters and bloggers also. Okay, if you're coming to Podcast Expo and you're going to be around for both days, you want your book signed that I published, the Podcasting and Do-It-Yourself Guide, bring it along with you to the expo, or there'll be some there for sale, and I will be more than happy to sign it. There'll be a book signing on Saturday that I'll do at the expo, so I think we'll get some nice personalization in there for you. Okay, and of course I'll be more than happy to sign any. If anyone brings me one just on the fly and I'm on the media floor or wherever I may be, I'll do it right on the spot, no problem also. Okay, I want you all to pay attention. We've got a new partner, and I don't know if I remember talking about this on the last show or not, but I'm sure a lot of you have gotten tech magazines before in your mailbox. I've got a great deal. They're free, okay? And these are truly free tech magazines, and they're magazines that you're probably familiar with from like Oracle, eWeek, Business Tech, SC Magazine. You know, the list, they've got hundreds in this list. CIO Today, VAR Business, it just goes on and on. We've partnered up with a company called TradePub.com, and they've actually skinned a site for us. Go over there and you can see, there'll be a link on the main page. It'll say free tech mags. You go over there, you can get signed up and get those for free, and we get a little bit of a kickback for every subscription that you do over there. Kind of a way to help us out over here also. What else have I got? Okay, some of you may have read on my weblog that this week I went ahead and I've actually purchased another server. The server that Geek News Central is on right now is a virtual server, but we've got that loaded up with some domains, and we are taxing that machine to its bursting limits. I'll be honest with you, we've pushed it hard. I'm using almost the maximum quota of bandwidth out of that box every month. And the load level on it is really high. So I went and bought another server from GoDaddy, bought a dedicated server with them. It's a Pentium 4, 3 gigahertz, 2 gigs of RAM, 240 gigs of hard drive space, lots of bandwidth, all kinds of great, it's got the great power to it. So we're going to be migrating to that. But the guy that normally does all my Unix work, he's too busy to do anything for me. So if you're a Unix, I've asked for this before, and I'm going to ask again, I apologize. So if you're a Unix guru, and you work for a company that sets up machines, or you do this for a living, and you have a company, and you want to help me out, maybe we can work something out, do some trade thing, or I'll pay you, and we'll still mention you on the site, give you some free advertising here on the show. But I'm looking for a Unix admin to take care of that machine, basically get it all set up. It can probably be a couple, 2-3 hours worth of work. And maybe give me some training too, but I will, 'cause I'll be, I'm a geek, but I'm very Linux poor in my knowledge. So shame on me, but that's kind of the way, kind of the way it is. But I'm real excited about moving the domains that we're going to be moving over there. We were kind of worried about Podcaster News. We're thinking it's really going to get slammed. So we've part of the reason for buying that box is to put that machine, put that domain on that machine. Speaking of GoDaddy, we want to save you some money, okay? Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can, with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer for you, my listeners, you can take an additional $5 off on any order of $30 or more if you enter the code GEEK4, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 4 when you check out. Thanks for GoDaddy for continuing to be a sponsor here. Great partnership with them. And I did use my 10% code. And I got a nice 10% discount on that server buy. That was beautiful. Now, those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you can still use that 10% code, okay? All right, what else? I got one last thing. I guess we don't talk about that. I do have some listener comments, and go over there to that. Oh, one thing I do want to mention real quick is that we are really ramping up, obviously, for Podcast Expo. We're planning what we're going to be doing there. I know that some of you that are listeners are probably sick and tired of hearing it because you say, I'm not going to Podcast Expo. Come on down. If you're in California, drive over to Ontario on Saturday. Come on into the floor. Check it out. Look for me. I'll be wearing a white shirt with a PCN logo on it. And come find me, and we'll get you some swag. And I'm more than happy to talk to any listeners that come out to Podcast Expo. If you are a listener and you're coming, hey, let me know right away, okay, so that we can hook up. And I look forward to having a good time. But anyway, the Tech Podcast Group, we're going to be doing some live roundtables there. And, of course, the podcast awards are going to be on. I got the pictures of the trophy. They're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Sent a copy to the sponsor, and he said, oh, man, they look great. So all those podcasters that won awards, I'm looking forward to it. But as always, the GoToMeeting is being is sponsoring the Tech Podcast Network, and we are real happy working with them, and we'll be putting on another live roundtable here in the near future using their web conferencing tool. Here's a little info on GoToMeeting. Hey, folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable to get your free trial now. Okay, now that we've got business all wrapped up, I do want to go over listener comments. And I got some calls on the voicemail hotline tonight, and I'm going to play both of these for you right now. And I got a kick out of this first one because it's short and sweet. I mean, this is the kind of call that I'm like, is there more?
Hey, I just wanted to say great show. That's pretty much all.
Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. But, you know, it's those little calls like that that really, really, really make me smile. And this one here was one that I really do liked, and this one's a little longer. Here you go.
Hey, Todd, this is Tom Cyber calling from Chicago. I just want to let you know that I bought your book and think it's great. I can't imagine another source out there for podcasting that can help out somebody looking to get into podcasting better than that. And I've read it, reread it, and I'm very close to getting everything I need to get my first podcast off and running. And thank you. I just wanted to let you know thank you. I enjoy the show. Actually, I listened to it on my way home from work, burned it on a CD, which is probably a little bit primitive to, downloading to an MP3 player. But really enjoy it. So keep up the good work. Hang in there. Hopefully things will get easier for you in the future. And it sounds like you're making time for family, which is also important. Okay, Todd? So, hey, thanks for putting on the great shows, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
No, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate your comments, and we look forward to hearing your show. And when you get it up and running, send me a promo to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. I'll make sure I play it It's that kind, this, those kinds of comments that keep me doing what I'm doing for all of you and putting on this great show. But anyway, it's we're 15 minutes in. I'm running long already. I want to get into the comments real quick from the email. I got an email from Jimmy. He basically was talking about how I was having issues with iTunes version 6. And he says he's had no problems. And I guess the thing I was going to reference there, Jimmy, on iTunes version 6, and they just sent out a new update today, was when you go into the directory, the podcast directory, go podcast, click technical. It used to be broken down into four categories. Now it's just one huge list. And if you look at that list, that is just an absolute mess. You look at all those shows that are using dashes and commas and whatever else they can to get their shows listings first. It's disgusting. It just makes me mad that Apple hasn't went in there and cleaned all that up and basically removed those podcasters that are abusing their directory listings. But, you know, I've ranted about that enough, and obviously they're not listening. So we'll see what happens in the future, but I'm glad it's working for you and working fine. I know I'm using iPod or Lemon. I've kind of have reverted from using any iTunes whatsoever. I do cross-check my feed every day, but that's about it. Now, I got a nice comment from John. He says, thank you for always podcasting family safe, in quotes, no cursing, swearing in podcast or promoted podcast. You never know how a person may be listening to your podcast. It's true. And John, I don't, I think that there's a time and a place for that, and it's not in a podcast. And you know, if you're going to be talking in a locker room, that's cool. But, you know, we'll leave the locker room talk in the locker room and keep the show child and educational. Child safe and educational. That's the goal. I got an email from Fireball, and he says that the audio sounds fine. Thanks so much on the comments on that. And also, he said that BitTorrent is probably the way to go for bandwidth. There has been some discussion on that in the podcasting mailing list, because I kind of brought it up in there too. Some people are thinking that typically the average user is not going to be able to handle being the BitTorrent built into the Podcatcher applications because of illegality. You know, they're not going to know that you're actually, you know, transferring info back, you know, and helping supply bandwidth. But it would be great if a consortium of listeners would say, yeah, I'll help out with distribution of different shows I listen to. But I think we have to make it easier for all of you. And we, you know, if you're going to be running iPod or Lemon or whatever it may be in your, on your desktop, you don't need to have Osiris or one of those other applications opened up doing additional duties. It should be in one application, should be transparent. There should be a yes or no check. Yes, I basically say I am going to, help distribute files when you install that package, so that the person knows that they're actually going to be using their upstream to help out distribute podcasts. The answer, you know, we got to find a good solution that is for everyone. And obviously, those of you using iTunes, Apple hasn't included it in it. So, you know, like I think about 30% of you that are listening to this show are downloading it via iTunes. Now, I've got another email from Aaron, and he made some good comments on the about the course on BitTorrent also, and he also discussed about some discussion I had about paying for TV channels via online and how some of it may work and some of it won't. Thank you for your comments there, Erwin. It is greatly appreciated. I got an email from Bob, and I got a little feedback from some of you. Actually, two or three of the listeners said, hey, why are you talking about spyware and Macs? And there was a good discussion that went on the weblog, because I kind of made a response to that at geeknewscentral.com. But I understand that all of you that are Mac users, including me, have not had any spyware attack our machines. But I think, you know, and some people say it's never going to happen. You know, it's impossible for that to happen with a Mac. And I know many of you are on that bandwagon, and everyone is obviously allowed to have their opinion on that. I guess my stance is that it hasn't happened, but to say that it will never happen, I think is a little bold, okay? And I hope it won't. Obviously, we don't want spyware invading the Mac realm as it has the PC realm. You know, you got 100,000 different issues that are out there for PCs and none for Mac. So there is obviously a huge disparity there. And there is, you know, some architectural reasons why The Mac hasn't been, you know, I guess infiltrated, is that the way it is? But I think it's pretty, I just don't want to say that it's never going to happen, because computers are computers, okay? And operating systems can be, you know, they're meant to be hacked, and hackers try to hack them all the time. But will it happen? We don't know. Okay, got a message from Andrew, and he also did some feedback on the audio quality. He says he doesn't normally respond for these requests, but he says it looks, it sounds great. And he says it's some of the best audio quality of the shows that he's heard. I'm not quite completely satisfied yet, Andrew, but I do thank you for your comments there. I do know that he put a pretty good post together. I do appreciate the feedback and all that. And we're looking at the stuff that you're concerns that you had. I got an email from Jack, and I'll put a link to a picture he provided for a picture of the moon, actually of a NASA picture. It's not of our moon. It's of another moon, Cassini. And I'll put that up in the show notes. Awesome picture. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I'm starting to rotate these nice science pictures or NASA pictures into my screensaver on my website. Also, I got an email from Ed. He's asking me, do we have a categorized link section of our website? So basically, he's kind of looking for by category. There's a category link, I believe, on the main website. If it isn't up there, Ed, I will get it back up. But since I tag everything, my category list is pretty big, but you should be able to drill down by subject to those posts within those specific categories. And if that link isn't there, I will get it back up on there. Okay, Andrew Darlow sent me an email talking about a service that he has found. It's called, it's basically a telephone service where you can get free 411. It's 1-800-FREE-411. It's a free information lookup service for just about any number. Here's the kick. Instead of paying $1.50 for the call like you would if you dial 411 with your local telephone company, you just have to listen to a 10 to 13 second ad. I thought, that's awesome. 10 to 13 second ad and I get 411 free. Beautiful. I don't know about you, but I love free. Oh my goodness. We're 22 minutes and I got to get into the content. I'm sorry, folks. I'm talking too much. Okay, for those of you in the UK, obviously you've already heard that you are being transitioned to googlemail.com versus Gmail. They've had some issues with the trademark issue that they had with a company over there that already had Gmail in the name. So those of you in the UK, you will be transitioned to Google Mail. Your gmail.com address will work for a while. They're going to be forwarded. But I think Google couldn't pay him off, so they're transitioning everyone. And I just wonder why they didn't do a big company like that. You know, first thing you do is let's call it Gmail. Well, let's look and see if anybody else is using the word Gmail, right? Wouldn't that have been the smart thing to do? I would think. Now, how many of you registered a domain name in the 1980s? I know that I did. As a matter of fact, in the late 80s, I did. But, and it was really expensive at the time to register a domain name. But there's a posting over at jottings.com of the 100 oldest domain names. The first recorded domain name was registered on 15 March 1985. It was called symbolic.com. Second was bbn.com, think.com, mcc.com, deck.com, all back in 1985, and then it stretches into 86 and 87 for the top 100. Just think, if you had known then that you could have got all of those domains that were all really good, but it was so expensive to register a domain, you really couldn't have afforded to at the time. And the first domain that I registered was when I was living, believe it or living in Guam, hafadai.com. I still own it. Anybody want to buy it? I'll sell it. Okay. There was a gentleman that decided that he wanted one of these game players called Gizmondo, and he stole it from a store. He took it home, and he got a text message from the company letting him know that they were onto him and where he was at. So apparently, they have some sort of GPS tracking within this device, and were able to basically scare this guy enough where he returned it. Now, think about that for a second. What's going to happen? You know, they're already doing that with cars and but when a regular appliance, as easy as a gaming console, it gets stolen, you know, and the GPS can track it and it gets sent an instant message on the machine. Pretty cool. I had a buddy who had, his daughter had a iPod Nano stolen, and he came to me, Todd, can you help me out? My daughter had her iPod Nano stolen. Is there any way I can get that tracked? Is there any way that Apple can lock that iPod Nano out or find out who has it? And I said, I don't think so, but do any of you know if there's any way to track, but you know, he's got the serial number. Is there any way to track a stolen iPod? Does Apple have any type of recovery service where they look for serial numbers of iPods and are able to track it down? If you know anything on that, geeknews@gmail.com. I know a guy that would like to get his $250 investment back for his daughter. So the high pilferage items. So watch your iPods, okay? Okay, HP is basically telling the Blu-ray Consortium that they're going to have to make some changes to their spec in order to get it a little more consumer-friendly, or they're going to be going with HD DVD. Now, this is the first time a company has basically said, do the change or else. And I applaud HP for standing up to the consortium and saying, make a change. Now, we'll see what happens. But this is, you know, here we've got, this is like the third or fourth strike where some companies have stood up and said, hey, we're going to go to HP or HD DVD for this specific reason. And it's basically the same reason every time. There was I got some email coming in, so I had to mute the box. All right. I have absolutely fallen in love with Netflix. We're on our fourth go around of getting CDs. I'm cycling those babies in and out real quick. My 1 month free is coming up on the end, and my wife's like, how much did that cost every month? And I told her, she goes, oh, that's a pretty cool deal. Let's do that. And I had heard something on the radio, or actually on another podcast, and I didn't know this. Did you know that Blockbuster could have bought Netflix for $50 million, but had their head stuck so far in the sand, they said, oh, that delivery model will never work. Well, you know, they're starting to close stores all the way, all across the United States, select stores. So, you know, if you're still paying, obviously they've made some changes and you're not going to have overage charges, et cetera, at Blockbuster no more because they're getting beat so bad by Netflix. But announcement today by Netflix saying they're going to indefinitely postpone the online movie download service. I think this is, I'm sure it will come back at some point. But it's basically a licensing issue. The studios are saying no way, no how. And I think what it probably is indication is the studios realize once people get a digital download of something, the hackers are going to just cut loose and tear the Netflix downloads apart and basically remove the DRM. And there'll be all that many more movies and videos that are going to be available on the net. So they've indefinitely postpone this, so it's not going to happen, at least anytime in the near future. So I'm sad to see that not happen. All right, for you that are podcasters out there, good way to promote your podcast. Checked it out tonight for the first time. It's called podcastclicks.com. You can go over there. It's a banner exchange for podcasters. You may even be able to advertise. I was playing around with it a little bit, so I thought, hey, I'll just throw up I'll throw some dollars some podcasters' way, and actually, you know, they'll get some click-through money. But I couldn't quite figure out how to do it. We'll play with it a little more tomorrow and maybe see the Geek News Central podcast ad on some of the other sites. Okay, I found a very interesting article on CNET. It is titled Napster's Learning Move. It's from Don Dodge. And Don was working with Napster back in the day when Napster was the bad boys on the block and everyone had a Napster account and were downloading MP3s like crazy via their P2P network. And, you know, he's got a great article here about, you know, their initial business model, what they were expecting to happen and what didn't happen. And I just want to read a couple of comments off the article for you directly. And again, this came from CNET.news.com. And somebody had actually sent me an email saying, hey, read more of the articles. Give us a little more depth knowledge. So I want to do that so you don't have to go over there. But he says, here's the lessons that can be learned from the experience that Napster went to. never get ahead of the market. Creating new market business models and value proposition is very risky and takes lots of time and money. 2, understand your customer, what problems you need to solve, and how much they're willing to pay for it. Because we probably would have paid for MP3s back then, you know, if they would have started with that model to begin with. Never start a business focused on solving big company problems. They don't have a problem, and they are probably right. Test your assumptions, interview potential customers, understand their top 10 problems. Don't try to convince them that you have a solution to a problem they don't know they have. And this is one of the reasons why we're going to bring listeners in to podcasternews.com before we launch to let you guys take a look at this and say, yeah, you guys got this right or you don't, so that you guys can tell us what you think we're doing right or wrong. And we're not going to try to convince you that this is a solution to how you're going to get news, but we want to make it so that it works for you. Okay, marketing and image matter. Provocative challenges make good headlines, but don't make good business. Yeah, provocative challenge, RIAA sues Napster. That probably wasn't a good headline. But great article by Don Dodge over at news.com from CNET. So obviously this will be linked up in the show notes. Okay, weblogs.com is now rolled over to VeriSign. I've noticed that my errors for pinging that site have went away. They've thrown a whole bunch of hardware at it. There's a new look to the site. Still has the top 100 pings. Hey, VeriSign, how about like the last 1,000 pings, all right? And how about XML feeds by the normal weblogs pings? You already do that via the audio.weblogs.com. Let's do it for the rest of them, okay? So this will be, we can go over there and get a quick look and get the XML links. I'm sure some of you have heard about the new battle that is, battle line has been drawn between Google and book publishers. There's been lawsuits filed, and it looks to me like it's just going to be an all-out war, and they're going to go to court and get it settled in court. But there's a good article on this lawsuit and what's really at stake here. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of you love the Google products and what they produce and the search and the whole nine yards. But, you know, Google is basically scanning every book in existence and they're indexing that so that you're going to be able to go to, I guess it's books.google.com or wherever it's at that they've got this search and search for textbooks that are, search for text. And I think this is pretty awesome. And from a research perspective, because many times, you know, I'll want to get especially going to college, I want to get a check a book out from my school's library, and I have to put a request in. They have to mail it to me because I'm doing remote campus stuff. It's just a pain, but I would really like to be able to search that via a search engine. Well, the book publishers are not having any of that because Google's going to not only allow you to search it, but once you find it and decide that you want it, you're going to be able to buy it. Now, whoever they partner with is going to make money. Ultimately, the book publisher will make money, but they are fighting this really, really, this is going to be a dogfight. So we'll see what happens. And there's a lot at stake here in this. And the copyright laws are kind of being rewritten by Google. They're going to have a good challenge to the bookmint, to basically the publishers. So we'll see what happens over this. It's probably be a couple of year fight, but we'll keep our eyes open. Have you heard about Flock? Flock.com, FLOCK. They have a application out that's basically a web browser that is specifically created for bloggers. Now, I played around with it a little bit tonight. So far, it's okay. I'll let you guys get your own opinion, but go over to flock.com, download. They have a developer's page where you can download the first iteration of this application, but it's made the rounds today a little bit, and it looks like what they've got a pretty good idea where they're headed with this, so check it out. Okay, how many of you agree that media companies have gone too far in curbing consumer activities? There is an article up on personal technology by Walt Mossberg that discusses digital rights management. You know, we talk about digital rights management here a lot on the Geek News Central podcast. But he goes into some pretty good depth in that analyzing what is going on and what's happening with DRM and, you know, how it's curbing innovation and those types of things. So pretty good article. This is one, obviously, I'm not going to go too much into depth with this. I know most of you say, come on, read me some of this, all this article, but I would like you to go over and check this out. And those, especially those of you that would like to fight the man on this DRM. Okay, I've heard about broadband going to the upper atmosphere for a long time, where people have talked about putting up blimps, putting up weather balloons. But in Sweden, they're going to run some tests where, or they have run some tests where they are taking a balloon and launching it. And I don't know if it's on a tether or not, but the balloon goes up to 24 kilometers, and they're able to really provide broadband coverage for a wide area, 60-mile area. And the speeds aren't real high yet. They have it up to 11 MPS, but they figure by next year they're going to be able to get up to like 120 MPS. Could be, you know, they're going to have to really work at it. But I think this is going to be a way, you know, you think of the cost of satellites. Satellites are really expensive. And this would be a way to get broadband deployed in areas where companies don't want to lay down cable or fiber or whatever they may have to do to get, you know, get the broadband there. So if it can be via the air, I think it's awesome. Now, whether or not they're going to allow this stuff on tethers is another thing. And I can just see it now, airplanes crashing because they fly through a tether for a broadband connection. But be curious. You know, they do that down in Key West. They've got a big, and they use it for drug smuggling. Down in Key West, they've got these big balloons they have on tethers that do radar sweeps. You can see them when you're flying into Key West, that have radars attached to them that do sweeps looking for drug runners coming up from, you know, wherever they bring that stuff from, Colombia and the Caribbean, I guess. But it's possible. We'll see. In a very interesting development, and I got tuned on to this by a podcast I listened to this weekend. Can't remember whose it was. I apologize on that. But it was discussing the open document format that is used in Sun Microsystems Star Office 8.0 and the K-Office suite, which is supported by the European Union. In the United States, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has basically told they are going to go with that format for all of their documents that are created in their state. Their general population was polled, and the population base, or the constituents of Massachusetts said, you know, we want to make sure that all the documents remain open in this state. So, in other words, if a state office has been using Microsoft Office and they create a document file or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it may be, and the general public needs that document and wants to be in, and have it sent to them, they have to have Microsoft Office on their computer to obviously read that file. Well, they don't want to do that. They want to have a open source, open formatted documentation of all documentation in, that's created in the state. It's a big, huge battle that's brewing. Microsoft is obviously not happy. Countries around the world are watching this. Other states are watching. It's huge. And this open document format from the Organization of Advancement of Structured Information Standards, OASIS, is the default format to improve the exchange of text, spreadsheets, charts, and graphical documents between suites. So it doesn't matter if you have Open Office, or it doesn't matter if you're using Star Office or you're using K Office, this is, you can share those documents amongst those applications. Now, Microsoft says, oh, our stuff's kind of open. So there, I'm sure there's going to be some court proceedings, etc. But I've got a little background article that I found on the Register that talks about this a little more. This is pretty huge, okay? So you'll want to watch this space, and I'm sure that there's going to be some tweaking. Microsoft's going to have to move to the right on this a little bit. And who knows, maybe this will force Microsoft to finally open up their documents so other applications can access them. Yeah, when birds fly, oh, never mind. How many of you remember DVD John? You know, he's kind of a little bit of a hero to me. At 16 years old, he was the one that cracked the encryption on DVDs. Now, he was the first person that was sued underneath the United States Digital Millennium Copyright Act, but they sued him or went after him in his own country. He was acquitted, never did no jail time or nothing like that. But he's been making giving Apple and iTunes files a little bit of a giving Apple a little bit of headache on their stuff too recently. But he just recently took a job in San Francisco or San Diego, and he is now in the United States working. Now I don't know if I'd have been sued by those big boys with all their money if I'd have come back to the United States. But apparently he feels he's safe. He's not going to get sued, but he's working for a company here. He's going to be doing some reverse engineering legally, I guess. And he says he's not going to be doing anything that would be construed as illegal here while in the United States. So we will keep an eye on what's happening with DVD John and make sure that what do you bet that they try to go after him? I just bet you they do. I bet you they go after him no matter what. They're going to try to get him on something. Now, as we all drive to and from our workplaces, I'm sure we all have one stoplight that just drives us crazy. Do you guys ever get stopped at a stoplight that thing is always like 5 minutes and then it's a 30-second green and, you know, it takes like four iterations to get through? I've got a few of those here in Honolulu, okay? But there's a site now called roadpetition.com where you can talk about those annoying traffic lights and you can actually put info in. It'll flag it within a Google Map API and it'll actually create a petition for you to get this thing fixed. And they're going to link it so that it goes to the proper authority, etc. Pretty cool. All right. Now, I always recommend if you're having a problem with a light, pick up the phone and call your local transportation department because usually all they need is a phone call to know that something's an issue. But sometimes you can complain and complain and complain and nothing ever happens. So this is a way for you to use the internet to find all of those really oh, those lights that really make you mad, okay? And they've got I noticed there's a huge, huge bunch of them in the New York, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey area. They're just inundated. Now, not so many out in the plains of the greater United States, but you can tell where there's issues in the major cities. So, roadpetition.com. Link will be in the show notes. Okay, how many of you are still using CDs? Be honest now, are you really using CDs? Are you playing CDs on your computer? Or are you using CDs on your stereo systems? Or do you have your computer patched into your stereo rack? Are you using some sort of a Wi-Fi device to patch into your console? How many of you are really using CDs? I really haven't used any CDs in a long time. You know, I rip my music whenever, you know, I haven't ripped this one yet. I'll rip it, but I don't think I've listened to an actual CD in a long, long time. Good article in PC World. Might be worth checking out. But, you know, a lot of people are dumping their CDs, going to hard drives. You know, people are putting computers in their cars, too. That's pretty crazy. But, okay, I think we talked about it on the last show. But if you're a Skype user, which I know all of you that are listeners are, and I actually got a message from someone that listened to the show that started using Skype for the very first time. Congratulations. I got an actual voicemail on that. And I'm running out of time here in the show. I'd go back and play the voicemail, but only get security updates for Skype at Skype.com. Okay, don't go anywhere else in getting that. Okay, those of you Mac users, I'm sure that you're all aware of the Cult of Mac blog over at Wired. It's blog.wired.com / Cult of Mac, a pretty cool site with lots of good info on the Mac, iPods, you name it. And there's an article in here that talks about video podcasting is going to be huge. We'll see. We'll see how big it gets. I was going to create you guys a little video podcast today, but I didn't. I just ran out of time this evening to do it. But I'm going to make one for you. And I think the last two articles I got, one on the science front. I'm sure some of you may have not heard this, but there was a little bit of an issue on a burn that they did on the International Space Station where the Progress spacecraft was going to raise the altitude of the International Space Station, and it only went for like three of its 12 minutes. There was some sort of unspecified issue. I guess everything's okay, but there was some sort of a glitch. The Russians are going to look at, they're going to make a decision later on whether they're going to reschedule the maneuver. Actually, they were already supposed to make it, but I haven't seen anything. Also, one thing I've been reading a blog called AVC. It's Musings of a VC in New York City. great blog to read, avc.blogs, avc.blogs.com. Put the link up there. And one article that really I really got a lot of was a management case, bad case, and worst case. And it talks about how you develop your business models if you're getting ready to talk to a VC. A lot of great information here. I'm finding myself reading a lot more VC blogs, trying to get insights into how they think and how they develop stuff. Okay, we're at 45 minutes. Golly, I'm long today. Sorry for all the beginning stuff to the show, but you guys slam me with comments, which is good. And keep them coming, of course. We've got some promos to play tonight. I want to play one from Steve Holden. He's one of our members over at techpodcast.com. I want you guys to check his show out. He's got a great daily show. If you haven't listened to his daily show, please do so. Please get subscribed to it. It's like a 3-minute podcast. It's got tech tidbits each day. And make sure that you get over to techpodcast.com. We've got our, and that's a good place to check weekly, because we have kind of a weekly summary podcast that talks about what's going to be going on in different podcasts for the week or special events. A lot of times it'll lead you to contests, new sites, etc. So make sure you get over there and check that out. Okay, I think I've got everything covered. I guess I do. Keep talking here. I'm going to completely run you out of time. As always, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Don't be afraid to talk for 30 seconds. I love to hear your comments. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. That's about it, folks. I think that wraps it up for our day. I thank you for staying subscribed, being with us. I do appreciate you being part of our family here. I'll be back with you on Tuesday with another scheduled show. And as always, lots of great stimulating content. And here's a promo from Steve and a couple of other great podcasters. Check this out.
If you're an information technology professional that typically finds themselves behind in their technology magazine and journal reading, then check out technewsradio.com for two potentially helpful podcasts. The first is Tech Rag Tearouts, which comes out every 2 weeks and reviews the latest in mainstream technology references for news and resources from an enterprise system architecture perspective. The second is Tech Tidbits Daily, which brings you short, under 4 minutes, technology pointers from new software to hot gadgets to conference notifications to productivity tips and tricks. So check out technewsradio.com for transparent technology podcast reporting, where agendas are checked at the door and information flows with focus. You can also contact us directly at technewsradio@gmail.com or leave audio comments by calling 206-337-1533. Technewsradio.com is a proud member of techpodcast.com and friendsintech.com.
Ready for another shameless promotion?
Excellent.
This is Ed Ovett, and you know who you are. I'm recording this promo in the hopes you'll give a listen to my new weekly podcast, Ed's Mixed Bag. You can do that by downloading the show at www.emb.libsyn.com, where the EMB is the abbreviation for Ed's Mixed Bag. I think you'll find it a fun show with plenty of PodSafe music, comedy, and a mystery sound contest where if you get the right answer, we'll find some kind of prize to send you. Each week, we live up to our name and play a broad range of musical genres. We're hoping you'll subscribe to the podcast so you'll hear each and every episode. So grab a pencil and write this down. www.emb.libsyn, that's libsyn.com, or just do a search for Ed's Mixed Bag and be ready to be entertained. Okay, can I get a glass of water and do that over?
Hi, I'm Derek Miller from the Pen Machine Podcast, and I've got something for you. Over at podcast.penmachine.com, free PodSafe instrumental rock tunes. You can download them, subscribe to the podcast, and get a new one every couple weeks, and they're totally free. PodSafe. You can remix them. You can do whatever you want. Lots of podcasters like them. Adam Curry's played them. IT Conversations, Canada's CBC, South China Morning News, Scene Zine, F1 Podcast. More than 40 podcasts, actually. Maybe yours, too. And you know what? I've decided to put the songs together in an album. You know, an actual CD. To make it a bonus, I'm going to add a data DVD that's got all the GarageBand files and original audio material and stuff, plus pre-ripped versions in MP3, WMA, AAC, Ogg Vorbis, whatever I can get my hands on. I'll be selling it independently. It'll be a good price. It'll have nice artwork. I think you'll like it. Even if not, you can go over and get the songs right now, and you'll like them anyway for free. So go to podcast.penmachine.com or search for Pen Machine in the iTunes podcast directory at Podcast Alley on the PodSafe Music Network. I'm all over the place. Go do it and get rocking. Right on.
All right, folks, keep the promos to 30 seconds to a minute, please. Both a couple of those were really, really long. All right, folks, we'll see you on Tuesday. Aloha. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.